Good morning. It's my sincere pleasure to be with you all, to see everyone. Everyone's so beautiful. I feel overcome by the music and the presence of everybody and the beauty in this space, as always. So today I will share a little about myself and my journey on my spiritual path. In particular, I will be sharing with you about my weekly practice of participating in an accountability call and some key reflections on what I have learned so far through this practice. As I was inspired to do this practice because of another person's story, my hope is that some of you may wish to try such a practice yourselves. I feel compelled to start with a little context. Back in 1996, I met my husband, John Speaker, who grew up in this church, and thus my connection with First U began. My mother-in-law, Mona Speaker, who's here today with my husband and son, and Bob Speaker, who's here with us in spirit, he's resting today. I thank both of them for my mother and father-in-law for welcoming me to the First U congregation. And when John and I first met, I was just back from Peace Corps in Hungary, where I had also traveled to Transylvania to work at an environmental summer camp. And it was really interesting when I returned and learned about the connection between Unitarian Universalism and Transylvania. I felt like I was having a full circle experience on my journey. And at the same time that I met my husband, I was also attending graduate school at Lesley College, studying intercultural relations, where I would go to lectures at the Unitarian Church at Harvard Square, featuring speakers such as Bell Hooks and Cornel West. I was in the midst of learning about gender justice, racial justice, taking a liberation theology course where I traveled to Cuernavaca, Mexico with the Episcopal Divinity School, learning about liberation pedagogy at Lesley College, and generally getting my mind and heart regularly cracked open and becoming activated. So it was a perfect time in my life to discover Unitarian Universalism, as it seemed to hold an answer that I was seeking. How to work on these justice issues with others within a community of people who were also aspiring to live into their shared values. It makes me feel emotional talking about this. I usually feel compelled to add, when I'm thinking about my relationship with Unitarian Universalism, that it's not a rejection of my Roman Catholic roots and upbringing, but rather an extension of many of the essential values that I learned through my formal Catholic education and through my parents and siblings and extended families who were Catholic. Indeed, I discovered Unitarian Universalism with its seven principles and its covenantal basis as a place where I could practice dearly held values with other justice-oriented people. And all the better that the family of my future husband was part of this heritage. It pretty much sealed the deal, so thanks. Being a public health evaluator and professionally evaluating projects over the years, such as science education reform, which interestingly, Greg was actually a principal investigator about 20 so years ago on a project that I was working on at Lesley College, before I knew you, I'm trained to focus on, I now work on violence prevention efforts as an evaluator and have worked on other things like tobacco control. And I'm trained to focus on context, on place-based change, systems change, culture change, and social determinants of health, such as social connectedness, access to healthcare, the experience of racism, and the impact that it has on people's health outcomes, as well as other social conditions. So it's really been a decades-long multidisciplinary training That's basically a perfect storm for a UU, a place where I now want to be in 360 degrees of my life. Additional chronological contextual pieces that I also want to add, and jokingly say that evaluators like timelines and key contextual factors, so I couldn't help myself. The Reverend James Ford was so kind to my son when he was 4 years old. I remember my son was sitting in the pews here, and James came up to Kai and really welcomed him in the church, and that kind of was the lever that switched and made me want to dedicate our son and eventually join the church too. And then dedicating Kai to the church was very important. And the critical act of participating in a chalice circle with Marilyn Ennett as the leader was really important. Forging strong bonds. I didn't know it was going to be like this. forging strong bonds with Kathy Segal through her leadership and our shared work on the Spiritual Pathways team, and discovering the magic of Star Island and my friends who came here today from other states to witness. I really appreciate it. So all of those things really helped me establish a UU identity. Being part of a local congregation, and then having all those other elements. And then I felt like I was really in a position to practice my faith with a higher critical consciousness, or I shouldn't say higher, it's just a deeper consciousness. And that's where the accountability call comes in. So I had to set all that up, because otherwise it doesn't have all the same information. So, how do we know that we are successfully living into our values? This is a perfect whole life question. Maybe for you, I know for me, as both a professional evaluator and a deeply seeking and devoted spiritual person, in what ways do we hold ourselves accountable to that which we value or to that which we aspire in our lives? Knowing that weeks turn into months and years, how do we check ourselves for how fully we are incrementally living into our own truth and progress? It's not something that happens overnight. How do we check ourselves on that? What do we value? How do we know we are moving in a healthy and growth-filled direction spiritually? Do we set an app on our phone to regularly ding or gong as a mindfulness check-in? Do we keep lists and check them off? Do we set annual goals? Do we keep a journal and review it periodically? In many different parts of our lives, we have checks and measures. We are advised to participate in annual wellness visits to monitor our health, weight, blood pressure, cholesterol, and other issues that we track over time. We may have fiscal checkups. We may set up savings accounts, 401k plans, budgets, and so on. We may have annual work performance reviews with annual growth goals. We may go on vacations or retreats with our beloveds to check in and maintain our primary relationships. But how do we hold ourselves and possibly each other accountable for our own spiritual growth? Especially as part of a religious tradition that is not led by dogma, but by congregational covenant. So this morning, I'll share with you about the practice that I've been doing for about a year and a half now, and hope to continue for years to come, that grew out of a lecture and a friendship on Star Island. It starts with a yoga class on Star Island with Laura Beth Brown, a talented religious educational professional and director of family ministry at Beacon UU Congregation in Summit, New Jersey, who introduced me to the concept of an accountability call and planted a seed for my own practice. Accountability, understandably, might sound like an imposing word for some of us, but when I first heard about the concept, it immediately resonated with me, as accountability has increasingly become a theme and a goal in my personal and professional life and a concept that has felt central yet elusive. This kind of weekly practice felt like it would be an opportunity to infuse some discipline and reflection into my daily practice of living life with purpose and meaning. Being a process-oriented person and not terribly traditionally goal or outcomes focused, the thought of having a practice, help, and support around spiritual accountability greatly appealed to me. My friend from Star Island, Jenny, who's traveling this weekend, otherwise she wanted to come, and I, she lives in Massachusetts, and I have been doing the practice weekly since January 2018. Every week on Saturday morning, we call each other at 7 a.m. for a one-hour call. Sometimes one of us texts at 6:59, 5 minutes, at which time I let out the dog, make the coffee, grab my notebook, sharpen my pencils, and run upstairs to my third-floor attic office and sit on my perch. We divide the time by increments of 6 minutes and take turns answering the following three questions. First, how is thy spirit? Or check-in, how are you doing this week? We share about friendships, family relationships, joyful observations, disappointments, incremental observations, and how our children are becoming who they are. Second, how have you experienced the divine? And that's in the last week. We share about a moment of noticing something in nature, a sunset, stars, how blue the sky was on a particular day, an unexpected moment of joy, grace, lightness, the realization of a knowing that's unfolding. Third, how is your social justice / self-care work going? We share about our worries about the world in which we are living, the environment, white nationalist terrorism, people we love, especially our brothers and sisters of color and our LGBTQ siblings, about the harm that is caused or upheld silently by ourselves and people with the most power and privilege, our own collusion in the systems that far from value the inherent worth and dignity of all people. We are working to dismantle. Small actions we are taking with attempts at bravery and integrity, the small signs of our own change. To the third question, which was first only specifically about social justice, we added the self-care component as we discovered through the substance of our calls that these two elements felt like two sides of the same coin. Social justice as a life practice is a long-haul work, and an integral part of deep justice work is deep self-care. In fact, for several months, we made an agreement to only report on self-care and give it the important space it needed. Simply by deciding to focus our question made us more mindful in practice of how we are caring for ourselves during these especially challenging times. In Chalice Circle here at First U, I first began to strengthen the practice of listening deeply without an agenda. This is something I'm still working on, and ask my family, and do utterly imperfectly every single day, in every single setting. I am a bit impatient, talkative, blabby, excited. I want to fix things. I want to know things. I want to show what I know, relate, connect, excel. But listening to witness, not to respond, this is a practice. And the more I do it, the more this skill takes root. It is not something we tend to learn in our society, where the quicker one can be with a clever reply, the more highly rewarded we seem to be by the dominant social norms. In this practice, practicing listening means truly listening, not thinking of your reaction, your judgment, what you would have done, what you would recommend, how you would solve the problem, but listening to witness, listening to reflect back to the person what you heard them say so that they can more fully understand themselves, more fully live into who they are. At the end of our call, we wrap up with a 3-minute give back, where we each summarize to the other person themes that we heard them bring up. We have tended to focus on the pastoral themes of love and belonging, identity, forgiveness, trust, meaning and purpose, gratitude, and hope. Oh, did I mention Jenny is at the end of her ordination process to becoming a UU minister? Despite our different career paths, we've been amazingly well matched for this practice. We regularly discover similarities about ourselves that cue us up to be eerily appropriate companions on this journey of self-discovery. One such example is we both read James Fowler's book, Stages of Faith, and on a shared family camping trip, we both launched into the framework, not knowing that it was an important one for each of us. We try to practice flexibility and responsiveness. For example, one week, one of us was experiencing a particular issue and wanted to focus exclusively on that issue. In response, we decided to experiment with a mini clearness committee based on Parker Palmer's work, where one person talks and the other person listens and then asks clarifying questions, not to propose a solution to the problem, but to help the person learn from accessing their own deep knowing. So every Saturday morning, rain or shine, happy or sad, spry or tired, one of us calls the other at 7 a.m. to commence our call. We stick to the one-hour format so that it remains a sustainable practice. We have called each other from the U.S. Southwest, Mount Desert Island, Maine, Atlanta, on family trips, work trips, vacations, in the hot weather, in the snow. My traditional spot for taking the call is perched on my window seat of my third floor attic, looking over the red maple in my front yard. I see who's walking their dog, which birds are around, what the weather's doing. The regular nature of the call and knowing that it will be there next week and the next week and the next makes it easier to be content with only an hour and with only however much we can fit into that day, into the call that day. As we transition between questions, we leave 1 minute in between for silence. The silence helps us by creating a sacred space where we can just breathe, empty, prepare, make space for what's next. As I prepare to end this talk, I can't help but bring us into the realm of what is happening in the world today. How desperate many of us feel about our present, our future, the environment, politics, our relationships, systems, structures, inequities. In recent weeks, since this year's Faith Development Conference on Star Island, I've been sitting with the thought-provoking question posed by Dr. Leon Dunkley, ethnomusicologist and UU minister in Woodstock, Vermont. What would happen if we approached our justice work from a politics of love rather than a politics of division? And thinking about what we are called to in our own congregational work with Reverend Liz and Reverend Tondeika and all of us as leaders to love beyond belief. Practicing this accountability call gives me a place where I can foster a practice of hope and patience. Hope that within me is the ability to notice and attend to what is important, to live the fullest expression of the good inside of myself, a space to which I know I can return, where wisdom and potential exist. I embody a deeper sense of the possibilities that await and the wonder and goodness that is happening in every moment around us. If we create the opportunity for ourselves and each other, we discover we have the space to notice, imagine, embody, and co-create the very world that we wish to inhabit. This feels like a practice of love. Thus, I leave you with a call to action. What is your accountability practice? Who in your life would you like to invite into such a space? You're worthy, even if sometimes, like me, you fear that you're not. I know from direct experience and faith that with an accountability practice, we can witness ourselves and each other, and perhaps each day, as we live into it, we can change the world. And finally, I'm going to read this poem by Sally Atkins. It's called "Tell Me," She Said. "Tell me," she said, "what is the story you are telling? What wild song is singing itself through you? Listen, in the silence between, there is music. In the spaces between, there is story. It is the song you are living now. It is the story of the place where you are. It contains the shapes of these old mountains, the green of the rhododendron leaves. It is happening right now in your breath, in your heartbeat still, drumming the deeper rhythm beneath your cracking words. It matters what you did this morning and last Saturday night and last year, not because you are important, but because you are in it and it is still moving. We are all in this story together. Listen, in the silence between there is music, in the spaces between there is story. Pay attention. We are listening each other into being. Thank you. Sat Nam, bless this earth with peace." In the following hymn, "Swimming to the Other Side," which is in your order of service, the lyrics, let's reflect on the ways we are practicing, witnessing ourselves and each other together on this journey.